This is a Nightlife crime podcast.
We're talking crime on Nightlife tonight with our regular crime contributor and true crime author, Rochelle Jackson. Tonight we're looking at a murder cold case from 1973 that police have been working on again over the last year or so. Rochelle, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks very much, Phil. Good evening.
This murder took place in Coogee in Sydney in June 1973. Who was the victim?
The victim, it's a very classic sort of almost a whodunit, Phil. I mean, you've got 26-year-old Lynette White. She's the tragic, hapless, beautiful victim who was brutally murdered for no apparent reason. You've got a grieving husband who, of course, will never get over the loss of his wife. A rather bizarre-looking male suspect, leads that go nowhere, some serious mistakes made by the police at the time, and a new detective, as you've already mentioned, who's taken up this unsolved case and is actually getting some results in a mystery that's 44 years old.
Wow. What? Tell us what happened. Take us through the crime.
Okay. So Lynette was at home on June the 8th, 1973. She had her 11-week-old son, Shane, in a nearby room, and when a man burst into her Coogee apartment. Now, apparently she was forced to undress before this man stabbed her in a frenzied attack in the hallway, and her little son was in his cot less than a metre away. Now, her husband, Paul White, didn't arrive home until a couple of hours later, and you can imagine he opened the door. Apparently it was already open ajar. And he opened the door further and he saw legs protruding out from the second bedroom. He raced in, turned the light on, and there, he said, was lean with blood all over the place. He tried to get a pulse. There was no pulse. And he knew then, he said, I wouldn't be able to get her back. There were nappies found with blood smeared on them outside the unit as well. It's a really bizarre case, this one, because she's a hairdresser. She was a hairdresser. She was a dancer in a Hawaiian dance troupe called the Alohas. And they were very successful in 1973. Apparently they performed all over surf clubs and RSLs across Sydney. And her and her husband, Paul, were managing this business, selling Swipe cleaning products. They'd been married.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
People
Swipe.
Remember Swipe. Yeah,
that's right. Well, apparently, like, that was a very popular product, and they ran this business from their home. They were only married for 2 years before she was murdered. So, look, it put a real frightener amongst not only women in Sydney but a lot of residents, because it made a lot of women very fearful in the area, because only a year later, another young woman, another newly married woman called Maria Smith, was also murdered in her Randwick apartment. So there was this real concern from police and Sydney siders that a serial killer was operating in the area. And, of course, to this day, no suspects have ever been charged for either homicide.
Well, so, I mean, she wasn't involved in the underworld or anything. She wasn't dealing drugs. There was no, this was part of the puzzle, really, wasn't it? She was really just seemed like a newly happily married young mother at home. And the question is, who would possibly want to murder her? So were there any leads that police had at the time?
Look, apparently what they worked out is that she had a stalker, and she'd also been receiving these nuisance phone calls in the months before her death. Now, police at that stage investigated whether her killer was an obsessed fan, because, of course, she was doing this dancing and she was performing in these shows as a hula dancer. Apparently this detective, who's now taken over the case, a senior detective, Constable Dion Kelly, he said there were several times when she was followed after she'd finished performing. So, you know, apparently there was another stage where Lynette actually spoke to her friends that she'd been followed, and then a man exposed himself at her front door. Apparently, the person that sort of instigated this case and kind of assisted in prompting it being reopened was an author and a journalist called Bob Worth, and he spoke to Paul. He was very good friends with the husband. And he said, look, he said she'd started receiving these obscene phone calls out of the blue, and they got more and more depraved. And it was a young guy saying crazy things to her, like, I'm coming to get you, I know where you live. And then apparently one day Lynette answered this knock at the door, looked through the peephole, and there was a man standing there flashing himself. Now, she told her husband, but Paul said he didn't think his wife had known the man. But, of course, the couple didn't report the phone calls or this obscene exposure to the police at the time. So really, there's some very – this is such a – I don't know. It's such a mystery, this case. I mean, you know, and Australia has a number of unsolved murders like this. Around 10% of all murders in the country remain unresolved, and this is another one. And look, apparently after her death, police released this sketch of a man, and I looked at the sketch, and if you want to have a look at this case and do a bit of research, the guy looks like a werewolf. It's very bizarre. They released this sketch of a man seen leaving the block about the time of the killing. He's got a complete, like, facial hair right around the frame of his entire head. So, in other words, his hairline actually like matches up with his beard. So he's got this, and he's looks slightly redhead. And apparently this is the sketch of the man they released after the time of the killing. And this senior constable, detective senior constable Dion Kelly said, look, we also received an anonymous phone call and a letter, the police did, about a man holding a towel to his head. And apparently this man was spotted leaving the driveway of the unit block. But, you know, of course, no one's actually given further information. These details remain from an anonymous person. And, of course, they've witnessed some very important details. So
there does appear to have been a bit of a botched investigation, though, doesn't there? I mean, the police work on this at the time doesn't appear to have been very good, does it?
No, not at all. You're spot on. This author, Bob Wirth, who ended up writing a book about this case, said he discovered that potential witnesses at the time of the murder just weren't interviewed. And can you believe it? This is where the New South Wales Police in 1973 have a lot to answer for. The investigation into Lynette's death has been frustrated because crucial forensic evidence has been lost inside the New South Wales Police archives. Can you believe this? So things like the nappy that the killer may have used to wipe blood off himself, DNA swabs, and a knife that is believed to have been the murder weapon actually just went missing or has been thrown away. So
what, inside the police forensics?
Yeah, because you've got a case.
Safekeeping.
Inside the police archives, you've got a problem with a case that's 44 years old, Phil. So you can imagine items, police files, forensic evidence get moved, shifted around and lost. So this is what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the murder weapon, which is believed to have been the murder weapon. The knife's just gone missing or been thrown away. And they also said that there were potential witnesses at the time of the murder that just weren't interviewed. So, look, it's interesting. This prompted this Bob Wirth's sort of started asking these probing questions that the police couldn't answer. And this prompted the case to be reopened in August 2016 with this senior detective, Constable Dion Kelly, at the helm.
Now, they made an important discovery, but when I was reading about this, I thought, well, hang on, surely this was known about at the time. I mean,
can you believe
that no one looked under the carpet?
No, that's right. So they've gone and ripped up the old Westminster carpet at the White's unit in Coogee.
This is in 2016.
That's right, August 2016.
And the murder occurs back in June 1973.
That's right.
And apparently the carpet's never been changed
since. Carpet's never even been looked at and hasn't been investigated. And they discovered this huge, large blood stain. And apparently they said this detective from Chief Inspector Olin from the Unsolved Homicide Unit in New South Wales said, look, they were able to identify Lynette's blood as well as the DNA of two unknown males. So that's the new theory, Phil, that there were two people or offenders.
Right.
Apparently they also said they found skin under Lynette's fingernails, which suggested that she'd attempted to claw or fight off her attacker while a broken glass lay on the floor near the door. So you can imagine the police were astonished that the blood stain or the evidence was still there after 44 years.
Well, presumably it did yield some DNA, reasonable DNA evidence, didn't it?
Yes, it has. They haven't been able to
link it
with anyone else. So, in other words, the people that, or these two offenders, they haven't had priors or, you know, they haven't got any records, criminal records, otherwise they would have been able to find them. And this is the dilemma with DNA cases. All very well to get DNA, but of course it only comes up when people that have actually got records. If you, you know,
or if there's
you
somebody
and I,
that you can, well, you can't compel a person to give a DNA sample, can you?
No, you can't. And this is the thing. In the 1970s, there was no such thing as DNA, of course, no such thing as DNA technology. So the detectives currently working on the case said, you know, I mean, it's a classic line. They're always optimistic. And they say that if they put in the effort and put in the hard yards, that they still may get a result. Mm. But look, it's been a hell of a, you know, they've offered in 2017, they offered a $100,000 reward. And it's the third time a reward has been offered during this 44-year long investigation. And the police want to speak to anyone who knew Paul or Lynette White, or indeed who were involved in their business selling the cleaning products. They also want to speak to anyone who lived in the White's unit block at 26 Beach Street in Coogee between 1971 and 73. Meanwhile, Lynette's husband, Paul, hasn't given up. He's remarried and continued on with his life. But he's successfully lobbied to have the details of his wife's case printed on playing cards. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's quite extraordinary. I've never heard of this before. These cards have been given to prisoners in New South Wales prisons in the hope that someone may come forward. So this is what he's... You know, it's really wrecked his life and created havoc. And you can imagine, you know, being married for 2 years and then this occurs.
Well, a little baby in the cot. I mean,
that's right. Mm. And meanwhile, the son, of course, has now grown up, Shane, and he's got a fantastic relationship with his father, Paul. Mm. But really, that's where it starts and where it ends. The mystery continues and, you know, police are virtually asking anyone with information to contact Crime Stoppers.
So it's what did you say? It's about 10% of all murders are never solved.
That's right. Yeah, 10% of all murders around Australia remain unresolved. Mm. And this is just another one.
It's quite high, really, isn't it?
It is quite high. And when you look at it, I mean, it's got all the classic hallmarks, hasn't it, of a classic whodunit. But, of course, it's a real cold case. And I think it's just... You know, I've seen photographs of Lynette and she's just gorgeous looking. She's a stunning looking person. It doesn't mean, of course, that the crime's any worse or better, but it's just tragic to think that this person's just been wiped out and killed with a carving knife. And then, you know, as I said, they've got this suspect, the drawing of the suspect from the investigation, but, gee, it's very bizarre. And, of course, a year later, another young woman and also a newly married woman was also murdered in Randwick. So, you know, you can imagine the terror in amongst the women living in Sydney at that time and a real concern by police that a serial killer was operating in the area. Mm. But no one's been charged for either of these homicides.
All right. The cold case of Lynette White, as Rochelle said, anybody who knows anything, contact Crime Stoppers. Fascinating case. All right, Rochelle, thank you.
Thanks, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.